This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at sci-fi-noise.com and as part of the Deliberate Noise Network. Sorry about that. For more details, please go to deliberatenoise.com. It's currently being replanned for being redone. Does that make sense? No. Anyway, if you'd like to leave feedback, please come to the website, leave a comment. You can also email me. My email address is Derek, it's D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com. Or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. Now, I am recording this a few hours before the Doctor Who 50th anniversary, the Day of the Doctor special comes on. And I just got done watching An Adventure in Time and Space, which is about the making of Doctor Who. Well, I shouldn't say the making, but the early days of Doctor Who. It focuses more on how they got the show together, what went into making all of the things that we pretty much take for granted now, like the opening credit scene, how they actually got the inside of the TARDIS to look, even that whoosh whoosh sound that they have for when the TARDIS is in motion, basically. They had that, and they also had a guy named David Bradley who played William Hartnell. And I just wanted to point out one thing. I'm going to try very hard not to spoil anything. But if they ever do another crossover where they have a bunch of different doctors, he would be perfect to play the first doctor. Yes, he is not William Hartnell, and he's only played William Hartnell, but he looks just like him, you know. So if they were ever going to do that, I would definitely hope that they would bring him into play. Sorry about that. He is one of the few people I could see who could actually play the William Hartnell Doctor, and it would look, I don't know, realistic. You know, and it's really weird because they did show a guy who was being Patrick Troughton, and he did not look anything like him. He just really didn't. And I don't know if they did that just to show, yeah, you see this guy? He looks like Hartnell. This guy, not so much, so it's not that easy. I don't think they'd ever do that because... Oh, David A. Price is inviting me to play. I don't think they'd ever do that because... The recent Doctor, let's just say the Doctor Who 2005, the Eccleston, Tennant, Smith, and probably Capaldi run, they don't really think too much about the old Doctor, you know, the pre-8 Doctor. No, I take that back. There's a short out there that that'll be a spoiler. So I'm just gonna there's like a prequel to Day of the Doctor. It's a short out there. Pretty sure probably if you listen to this show, that means you're probably a big sci-fi fan because I think in the ranking of all science fiction podcasts, I'm probably around 250, 260 in that area. So he must really be a hardcore sci-fi fan to be listening to this. So you've probably already seen it. So you know Witch Doctor appears. And that, to me, is the only... It's really the only nod they've had, isn't it, to any doctors before Eccleston. So, I mean, I don't think they would do something like that. But if they did, I think it would be cool. I realize that the other guys are all older now. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't work. Because they are all older, and we have pretty much seen them all regenerate. So we know that they don't get older than that. We know that Tom Baker, for example, doesn't get white hair, you know. And Colin Baker doesn't lose his curly hair, that kind of stuff. So, all right, maybe they shouldn't. But if they ever did, if they ever decided to go back to the first, this guy would be great to play the first one. Anyway, one part that they really focused on was the making of an unearthly child, which is the first Doctor Who episode. And it's really weird because I had just watched it earlier in the week. I watched the first two parts of the first Doctor Who series. And now, of course, I want to not only watch the second two, but I also want to go back and watch all of the first Doctor's stuff. And then go and watch the second Doctor and the third Doctor. I really want to see a lot of this classic stuff, you know. I don't know. You know, Doctor Who is one of those shows where a lot of people think it's the best science fiction show on TV. And there are times when, especially with this, with Russell T. Davies and Stephen Moffat, the Davies-Moffat run, it's not even necessarily a science fiction show most of the time. It's a kind of like a horror show, or a bump in the night type show, or it's just action adventure with very little emphasis on the science fiction part. And you know, there's very little science in the science fiction show, and that just makes me think now, just off the top of my head, what actually constitutes science in a science fiction show? Is it just technology, or could it be something just otherworldly, you know? Because if it's just otherworldly, then by virtue of the Doctor being an alien, then, you know, he could sit there and play the piano for an hour, and technically it would be science fiction because it's an alien playing the piano for an hour. Of course, I think that the second quarter hour would see a drastic drop in ratings. Because the first 15 minutes, people are like, okay, what's going on here? And then they're like, oh, shit, he's just going to be playing the piano for a fucking hour. Never mind, I'm going to... Oops, I didn't mean to use that word. However, this show is not for children. Not because I necessarily were around swearing, but because I don't want kids listening to my show. I'm not family friendly, because in case there are times I do drop an F-bomb, I don't want people writing me up saying, oh man, I was listening to my kids and all of a sudden you started talking about... It's like, your kids shouldn't be so sensitive. You know, I don't know what else to say. I really truly don't know how to respond to that. You know, my kids listening to you swear and they didn't like it. They didn't like it? Or did they start giggling and you didn't like it? Anyway. See, that's one of the bad parts about doing one of these off-the-top-of-your-head type podcasts. Sometimes you just lose your train of thought. Anyway, I purposely recorded this before the 50th anniversary because I just may spoil things. I don't want to spoil things. I want people to experience it firsthand. Now, the next show, it will have already aired, probably at least for a day, probably for a couple of months. So if I talk about it, then I won't feel so bad. Because spoilers are weird. You know, I was thinking about that earlier. Now, there are some people who get upset if you spoil things like the first, like, you know, like what happens in like the first issue of The Walking Dead. You know, it's like almost some unspoken rule in comic book podcasting and on forums that you don't spoil The Walking Dead, even though that book's been out for like, what, 10 years now, something like that. So it's like, okay, if you don't know what happens by now, you never will, you know? But at the same time, there are people who try to avoid giving spoilers who kind of ruin it for you. I know that on the TV show, The IT Crowd, they actually talked about this. But it's like, if you try to... my friend David A. Price, the one who just invited me to play Words with Friends, we have a thing, right? We text each other constantly, like two teenage girls with that. Well, stereotypical teenage girls. And if he watches something that I haven't seen, or if I watch, you know, more likely than not, I watch something before he's seen it. And it's just real simple, you know? Have you seen this week's Almost Hero? Not Almost Hero, shit. Almost Human. No. You know, he'll respond no, and then I'll respond with no comment. It's as simple as that. Have you seen this? No. No comment. And this is... and he's David A. Price is just responding to me about a text that I sent him earlier. Anyway, that's what we do. And it, no matter how much it hurts me, because you see, we both watch the TV show Downton Abbey. But he watches it with his wife when it comes on PBS, like a honest person does. I, however, will download it off the internet a few hours after it airs. So I've seen this like months before he does. And it really bugs me because I can't say something, you know. It's like, oh, did you see Downton Abbey? Said, no, I'm waiting for it, Derek. You know that. And it's like, just remind me to talk about the doctor. You know, the doctor on the show, not Doctor Who. And that's all I can say. You know, it's not me saying, you know what, this doctor is like one of the worst doctor TV doctors ever. You know, I can't even do that because I don't want to spoil anything. Just like, remind me to talk about the doctor. Simple and plain. And so then after he's seen it, then I was, oh yeah, what was I going to say? So that kind of sucks. So now I'm waiting for it to come on PBS. But when it comes to a spoiler, you can do something like, let's say that I've seen Doctor Who before he does, you know, the 50th anniversary. And I say to him, have you seen it? No. I say, oh man, you're going to love it, right? Then that kind of will affect his perception of how he's going to accept it, you know. To me, that's kind of influencing it. He hasn't watched Lost, so we've never talked about Lost. Although I think he started watching, I can't remember now. I know he's watched Fringe, and I've never mentioned anything about Fringe to him, even though I want to, because I don't know exactly where he is. I think he's watched the whole thing, but I'm not sure. But even that to me, when it comes to him, that's one thing. But if it's somebody, I say, oh, yeah, I'll put on it. I really enjoyed this week's Doctor Who. And I'll just leave it at that. And almost immediately, somebody said, what did you like about it? And I was like, okay, let's take this to private message. I don't want to spoil shit. What the fuck's wrong with you? And there I go again. And to me, that's drastically different from saying, oh man, I watched Doctor Who. I'm not going to spoil anything, but wow, that scene with the girl with the blue dress. Wow. Right now, that will affect your watching of the show, because whenever the girl with the blue dress comes on screen, you're going to be like, okay, is this what happens to her? Is this what happens to her? You know, even if you don't even want to pay attention to this character, even if this character has like one line, You know, and it's like, okay, nothing happened here, right? And that'll be distracting from accepting the rest of the show. That's why I really don't like spoilers. And, you know, even if it comes to the point where, you know, you can get disappointed when somebody says that, because you'll be watching and all of a sudden she gets hit in the face with a pie. Like, oh, is that it? That's what who cares? And it doesn't matter if 2 seconds later somebody comes up behind her and cuts her throat, right? And you go, whoa. Okay, that must be what he was talking about, not the pie in the face thing. Because it's just like you've already wasted that anticipation on the first part. You know, there's a surprise that fell flat. And then the other one's like, oh, okay. It's just like you're sitting there worrying about the realization of, oh, okay, so that's what he's talking about. So like, wow, that was just outrageous. Oh, I'm channeling my inner Lionel Richie there. See, I try to avoid spoilers, but there are times when I just say, fuck it, I want to talk about it in detail. And then on those occasions, I will try to say ahead of time, hey, this is a spoiler episode. This is, however, not a spoiler episode, but you should kind of take it as it is. I don't know. There's nothing to spoil. I'm not going to spoil anything. Anyway, the text that I sent him referred to Christopher Eccleston and how it seems like since Christopher Eccleston has left Doctor Who, he just really does not give a shit about the character. And that kind of bugs me because there are a lot of people who have enjoyed playing that character who probably wanted to continue playing that character, but for one reason or another, they decide, you know, it's time to move on. But he's just like, well, yeah, it's a character I did. I'm done with it. That's how it just seems to me. I don't know how he feels about the character. I don't know. But whenever I see a Christopher Eccleston episode now, it kind of makes me think, eh, who cares? This guy, he just, you know, I look at it not as somebody being the Doctor or even an actor playing the Doctor, but I see it as an actor doing a job, and that's it. Like I said, maybe that's unfair to him, but for that, his post-Doctor attitude, it's just like kind of taking away some of the enjoyment of his episodes for me. And at the time, when his episodes were coming out, I really enjoyed them. Now, in the in the Davies Moffat run, he's probably my least favorite Doctor. I think now even the Doctor who was in the Day of the Doctor prequel, and just those 5 minutes, he's kind of like gone above Eccleston, if you like me, if you understand what I mean. Now there are going to be people who respond to this with like, oh no, I love Eccleston, he's the one who got me into the Doctor. Yeah, but he was not the one who got me into the Doctor. That was Tom Baker. And when people start talking about how Tennant and the others are the best Doctor, when somebody says Tennant, you know, Tennant, Smith, Eccleston, those are the best Doctors, I don't watch any of the old stuff, then I don't listen to you because you make no sense to me, you know. I'm not saying you have to watch everything in order to have an opinion, because you can have an opinion, but you've already proven to me that you have an uninformed opinion, and therefore I don't really have to give it any credence. I don't know how else to put it. But he just responded with that's how he felt about Liam Neeson, about how he said he'll never do Khans after playing Qui-Gon Jinn. Yeah, I can see that. You know, it's disappointing. There was a TV show called Twin Peaks a long time ago. And then there was a prequel movie called Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me. And the woman who played Teresa Banks, I can't remember her name now, but she had no idea that she was basically like a cult figure, you know, amongst Twin Peaks fans. So when people would like recognize her from the movie and ask for autographs and stuff like that, she would almost get offended. And I kept thinking to myself, no one knows who you are, lady, you know, I think that she was also on this TV show called Strange Luck from Fox, about this guy who had like this incredible lucky streak. You know, I think that's what it was about. Anyway, and she would actually want to focus on that. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, okay, you can focus on your current work, but if you really shit on people who are fans of your previous work, that makes no sense. You know, even William Shatner learned, okay, yeah, to some people, you are always going to be Captain Kirk. You know, to some people, he will always be T.J. Hooker. To some people, he will always be Denny Crane. To others, he will always be the guys from that that Priceline commercial, whatever commercial it is. So don't treat one segment of your fan base like shit just because you got tired of the role. Some people, Christopher Eccleston, will always be Doctor Who. No matter what other show he appears in, he's still Doctor Who. I think he was an Invisible Man on Heroes, and he was still Doctor Who. So, I don't know. But that's just me. Anyway, I have stuff to do before the show starts in a few hours. This has only been 20 minutes out of, well, more like 21 minutes out of my life. So, thank you for listening, and I'll be back soon with another episode.
Come on, Wanker.